me. Amen. And praise the Lord for what he has done for us because, yes, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And, yeah. But, yeah, that's good stuff. So the next slide, of course, this is the topic that we'll be looking at today, and that is reducing sin. Reducing sin. Now, sin is ever before us, right? We live in this flesh. We have the old nature that currently is we are battling with, right? And it's just ever before us. It's just as soon as we walk out these doors, I mean, it could be happening now. You could be thinking about the football game and not really paying attention to what God has for you this morning, right? Or you could be thinking about what's for lunch. I'm thinking about maybe what's for lunch right now. Maybe a little rancho viejo, a little burrito, salsa. Yeah, everybody's like, yeah, let's do that. Right? You know, do what? What time? What time? Yeah. Oh, Miss Jackie, thanks for paying. Yes, ma'am. Appreciate that. But again, yeah, it's just, it's ever before us. And it happens within the church, right? And it happens outside of these four walls. It happens in the workplace. It happens at home. And again, it's a constant battle, right? And we have to ensure that we do our part through the help of the Holy Spirit for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, to ensure that the reduction of sin is something that we have top of mind, right? And turn in your Bibles to Romans, and we'll look at Romans chapter 3. This particular passage of Scripture, of course, is well known and part of the Romans Road. But Romans 3:10, and the whole context of this passage goes all the way to verse 26. But for the sake of time, I will just probably read verse 10. And most of us in this room, we would know this, of course, by heart. In verse 10 of chapter 3 in Romans says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." I like verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All. Every single one of us have sinned, right? But praise the Lord for his word. Because he came down to this earth many years ago and died on the cross on behalf. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So what I want you to get out of this particular lesson today is, number one, is grasp the terrible weightiness of sin, right? Isn't sin terrible? Isn't sin just something that's just, can so easily beset us? It's just horrible. But anyways, we'll learn to grasp that. Number two, learn how to respond properly to sin, okay? Learn how to respond properly to sin. And number three is understand the position of no condemnation that Christians have in Christ, right? So amen for that. And praise the Lord for his saving grace, because without him, we'd be going straight to hell. Yep. And we can't do it on our own. Well, there's nothing that you or I can ever do to earn our way to heaven. And then, just like we talked about in lesson one, the convoluted Christianity, how Catholics believe they have to do good works to go to heaven. You have the Mormons that have to do all these different things to get to heaven. All these different things that have to be done, when in fact it's just a free gift. It's right here. So all you got to do is trust in the free gift. You mean, I just have to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me and realize that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and it's a free gift that he offers me? Yes, it's that easy. But people just don't get it. They don't get it. They can't grasp it. And it's like, man, I've talked to so many people that can't just wrap their head around how they're not good enough and how they just can't accept a free gift. Man. And that all just comes down to, again, like I said, that first lesson. I mean, there's so much mess out there that it has just totally convoluted Christianity and God's message, right? But that's what we'll be looking at today. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Let's pray. Dear Father, again, I thank you so much for this day. I pray that you bless it. Thank you for those that are here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of them. And Father, you be with the next hour as well as Pastor brings forth the message. I pray that we'll have our hearts ready to receive it. And Lord, if there's anyone today that comes that doesn't know you, that today can be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Folks, I got some good news. I got some really good news. It's empty. Woo! Okay. Some might have taken more than others, but that's okay. I have about that much left. Who's up for it? Who's up for the challenge of taking just a few left? Anybody? Okay, well, I'll let you have them here in a little bit. But that's it. We're done. We are done with how many tracks did we have in that particular box? 1,500, right? 1,500 tracks. And what's today? Today's what, October 8th? And our actual original goal was December 10th to get all these out. Get another box. Amen. I love it. Yes. So we do have a couple more boxes in there, and let's just start, continue on. But the goal that I set for you guys got it done. Well, I say got it done. I still have a few left in my car, and there's still some here, right? So by next week, we should be 100% in getting that done. So just a side note on that. Amen. But yeah, good job. That's awesome. I'm able to spread those tracks all over Central Washington, Montana, just because of travel. And you guys are all over where you go, and it's good stuff. God, we'll just trust in Him that His word will not return void, and that we'll see some people come to church and join the church, get them saved, get them baptized, get them discipled, get them going into the church, get them teaching right here, and we'll keep going. Fill each one of these rows. Amen. Okay, let's go into number one. Sin is sin, right in God's eyes. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh, I just said a little lie. It's okay. Hey, hey, just a little thing here and there. No. In God's eyes, sin is sin. I don't care what you did. It is what it is. Sin is sin. But I'll ask you this, and with a raise of hand, who actually has had victory over sin? In particular, maybe something that, yeah, amen, and you're willing to say, yes, I have received victory. And you've only received victory because you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to help you through that, amen? And that's, He's the only one that can give you the victory. With the help of the Holy Spirit, He can say, and He can guide you and direct you, and says, Lord, I need some help over this particular sin. It's difficult, it's hard, I know I'm still in the flesh, but Lord, I have the Holy Spirit that's more powerful than the flesh. Help me with this. And the Lord can give you victory over that. So when we look at number one, bad news, yeah, sin is bad news and it's horrible and we're dealing with different things in our lives, but you know, it's a spiritual warfare, right? We're just dealing with stuff that someone who is not saved doesn't have to necessarily deal with, but man, it is a battle, right? It is a battle. And it's bad news, and bad news comes in different ways that we deal with our health, we deal with finances, we deal with different things, but with the help of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, He can help us through that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen for that. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about, man, that point when He was on the cross and the Father had to turn His back on Him. Whew. I mean, I don't even know. He has never experienced that, but He was willing. I mean, how many of us, and this is where my thought was going, how many of us have had, I don't say the opportunity, but as little kids, either in the grocery store or on the road, traveling on the side, whatever it might be, where you were separated from your mom and dad for just a few little bit. Who's been there before as a kid? What did that feel like? It was scary, right? You're thinking, okay, He's here somewhere, but where? And I've done the same thing as a kid. Walking downtown in Costa Rica, I mean, most people just walk and take the bus and all this other stuff. We were in line for the bus. There's people everywhere. And my worst thought was that He already got on the bus and I didn't. And I'm thinking, I don't know anybody. I don't know. What do I do? It felt horrible, right? And just imagine that separation that Jesus Himself had to have with God and that separation there. Oh, man, it got to feel horrible. But He did it because He loved you. He did it because it had to be done. He did it because He was obedient. For He hath made Himself to be sin for us who knew no sin. That in self in Scripture is just heavy, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, number two. Now, how do we respond to sin sometimes? How do we respond to sin? So letter A within this is self-defense. Remember last week I had that ladder and I had, you know, the very top said religion, and I was kind of climbing that ladder thinking I'm doing good and all this stuff. And then I look down on all of you and think, you know, I got this. I'm better than all of you. I'm doing okay. I come to church. I do my thing. You know, we all want to be not too bad, don't we? We all do, you know, and that's, you know, the flesh that kind of creeps in there. Christians, after salvation, continue to play this game, right, of comparing ourselves to other Christians, don't we? Well, my person is doing this. I'm not, so I'm okay, you know. Well, are you? And just like I said, yeah, last week, the latter example, I mean, we have that self-defense of like, well, you know, yeah, sin's not good, but we do have, and we respond to sin in particular ways, but it shouldn't be as a self-defense mechanism where I'm doing better than somebody else. No, why don't you work on yourself, what you need to work on, and then that'll help you in your Christian life to be better for others, right? And that's kind of where my diagram's always been used, and we've used this several times. We understand that our foundation is the Bible, and I don't have it here, but you would put yourself, maybe you here, and then the rest of the church over here. How about you pay attention to you and learn how to get closer to God yourself, right? You've seen this before from me, and how I need to do what I need to do to get closer to God, and then the rest of the church, the rest of the members can do the same thing. And as we get closer to God together, we're on the same page. We can help each other to get closer to God, right? But just pay attention to yourself. Do what you need to do. When you see somebody else going through something, well, then basically help them out. Guide them, direct them, pray for them, see them. Whatever they might need. Because you and them are doing the same thing to get closer to God. Don't look at it as like, you know, I'm better than you. I like that. Well, I like when pastor says that. Good job, Jason. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep preaching. That's good. Amen. Okay, letter B. Now, somebody help me here, Miss Candy. How do we say that? Self? Depreciation. Thank you. Making sure you guys are awake. Here's what self-depreciation looks like. You know you've failed royally in life and relationships. You know that there is a lot of bad behavior in your past. You know you've violated and offended God's standard of righteousness. And you know you don't deserve Him or His goodness. Okay, so now we flipped it a little bit, right? Now we're looking at it as, I'm here, but I've done so much wrong for Him and done this, that, and the other, but I'm here, Lord. Woe is me. Doo-dee-doo. You know, come on. Lord forgave you. Move on. It's hard because the devil likes to creep that stuff into your life and kind of say, well, you're doing this now, but do you remember what you did? I do, but the Lord has forgiven me through the power of His blood and has allowed me to continue on to do the work that He's called me to do. Don't put yourself in that position of being, woe is me. Because we don't have time for woe is me. It's time to get up, get her done, and get some stuff happening for the church. Well, you don't know what's happened to me. I've gone through a lot. Okay, let me pray for you. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me direct you. Let me help you. You know what? Health issues happen, things happen. But you know what? By the end of the, when it's this all over, I get to spend my life, my eternity with Him. Yeah. You know? So buck up, put the seatbelt on, get your boots strapped on, like I've been saying for the last 5 weeks. Just get her done. Make it happen, right? And if you need help, and if you're struggling, or if you need prayer for a certain thing, you know that you can come to me. We can pray over it between just you and I, because there's that confidence there that we do need, right? You need some help. You need confidence in a brother and sister in Christ that you can trust them, that they won't advertise it. Because, I mean, you don't need that either, right? You know, you need some good friends, some good Christian brothers and sisters that can pray over you for a certain thing that you might be struggling with. Just let you know, like I say at work, my door's always open. And I'm always willing to help and guide and direct wherever I can and pray over you because, again, we're all here. We're all in it together. But do not take number B and just use that, right? I mean, I think I made a note here. If God is convicting you, get it right and move forward, right? Because conviction is real too. You know, if you're really down in the dumps because of something that God is pricking your heart about, well, that's good too, right? But you got to get it right. You know, conviction is real. But again, that whole self-depreciation is not spiritual. It's not biblical, nor is it helpful, right? Amen. Psalms chapter 51, great passage of scripture where David just came to the Lord and saying, forgive me, I've done so wrong with the sin against Bathsheba. But it says here in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Self-defense lies and says, you're not really bad and sin isn't really a big deal. Self-depreciation lies and says, you are so bad that perpetual repentance is your only option. Both are lies that blind you to the gospel of grace. Right? So be very careful with that. Number three, truth. Truth of what sin is and what it does in our lives. So letter A, you aren't perfect. What? I'm not perfect? Come on, brother guest. I'm not perfect, brother. That's for sure. You're like, yeah. You're like, yeah, you're way off. Amen. We're all fundamentally flawed, right? We're prone to making mistakes, doing wrong, and we fail. We do, right? We understand that. We live in this flesh. We're not perfect, but we have a perfect Savior that can help us through those things. But don't, again, like I just talked about, don't dwell on what you're doing wrong. Get it right and move on for the Lord, because the Lord can do mighty things in your life if you allow Him to work in your life. Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doth good and sinneth not. Right? Yep, that's for sure. Letter B. Your imperfection is instinctive. Right? Your imperfection is instinctive. Can anybody give me some, shed some light on that one? Anybody want to kind of say, what do you mean by your imperfection is instinctive?
We have a sin nature.
Yeah, we have a sin nature, and then it's just, yeah. It's we have to, what we have to battle, right?
If you don't fight against it, you are going to go to what's comfortable, what's known, what your body likes, and that is the works of the flesh in Galatians.
Right, amen. No one ever taught you to be selfish or to lie or to struggle with negative behavior, right? We've all seen it. You know, you see the little kid in the grocery store, I want my cookies. Give me my cookies. I want that candy. And they start pitching a fit, and all you want to do is take this belt off. I'll take care of that for you, sir. You go ahead and do your shopping. I'll be right back. I'll take your kid to the bathroom. Well, I mean, you know where I'm going. But, yeah, I wouldn't tolerate that for my kids. I don't think they ever did because we taught them from home not to do that kind of stuff. You know, if there ever, I don't think there was ever a time that I had to stop what we're doing. Where's Emily? Ah, she's teaching Sunday school. I don't know if there was ever a time where she, I think she did once with Morgan. What? It was Micah. Okay, yeah, yeah. Where I thought she said I was at work. I think she said she had to go home and deal with it, and then it went back. It only took one time. It only did. And then my boys try to pull fast ones, of course, too, as well. But anyways, we're born that way. We have a sin nature, right? We need a Savior. I mean, you're not taught how to lie or how to cheat or how to cry or how to throw a fit or whatever. It just comes that way, you know? You can thank Adam for that one, you know? Anyways, and that goes back to, of course, our passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 3. But letter C. Your imperfections are harmful. Your imperfections are harmful. Well, and I'll make the note it says here, think about what your sin-prone heart creates. It creates broken relationships, bad decisions, regrets, guilt, and shame, doesn't it? But Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And I love James. It's probably one of my favorite books. James chapter 1, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Your imperfections are harmful. They are, aren't they? They vary. Your imperfections, you got to be careful. Whatever imperfection that you're dealing with, ask the Lord to help you through those, because they are very harmful, just as James chapter 1, verse 15 says. Letter D, your imperfections are more powerful than you, aren't they? Your imperfections are more powerful than you. No amount of self-discipline would be enough for you to become perfect, right? You can do all that you want to do, but you're not going to be perfect. We need who? We need Jesus. Our hopes in Him, right? There's so many people that are turning to drugs, they're turning to alcohol, they're turning to sinful ways, and they're looking for answers, and all they need is Jesus. But I'll tell you right now, they need someone to tell them about Jesus. There are so many people that I've come in contact with over the years that have no clue. And here we are in America. I mean, here we are, you know, even down south in the Bible Belt, you know, there's still people that really don't understand and don't grasp it. So what is our job? Our job is to show them Jesus. Man. Ugh, I don't know. There's just so much work to be done. Had a good conversation yesterday with a gentleman in McDonald's with my son Mason. We went to lunch real quick. Everybody was doing their thing. They were here at the, you know, at the bridal shower, and stirred up a conversation with the man. The man does know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. I was ready to hand him a tract and start giving the gospel, but he then point blank just told me that he was saved. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ, personal Savior. I'm like, okay, great. So it turned into a really good conversation. But you never know who you're going to talk to. But really start some conversations. You never know. It's just how their day is going. I've been using a lot the fact that a lot of people like to wear crosses. You know, either an earring cross or a cross on there or a tattoo, whatever it might be. I said, hey, talk to me about that. What does that mean on whatever that might be? And that gives me the open door, right, to talk to them about what that means and what that truly means if they don't get it, right? I like to use my job, too. I like to tell them what I do and how wicked this world is and how things are, how bad they are. And then I point blank ask them, I know, man, and things are just getting worse and worse, huh? Yeah, it is. And then I say, yeah, the Lord needs Jesus. Oh, okay. Wow. And then like, boop, then they stop. and then they're like, oh, I know where this is going. And then I usually just slip them a track and say, hey, well, you know, when you get a chance, take a look at this, you know, and if you have any questions, it's a coffee stand, so you know I'll be right back the next day, you know. So if you have any questions, let me know. But anyways, I know we're kind of getting sidetracked, but your imperfections are more powerful than you. Just like anybody else that still needs the Lord. Psalms chapter 51. Turn in your Bibles. I don't know if you guys have that in your Bible as highlighted, but really when you're really going through it and you're asking the Lord for help and guidance and direction and just some encouragement, really take Psalms 51, highlight it, you know, make a mark in your Bible because it's just so good. And you look at verses 3 through 5. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And behold, I have shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Just kind of like we talked about, right? Sin, it's that sin nature. But the Lord is always so good to help us and guide us and direct us. But the problem of dealing with sin doesn't go away after we are saved, right? I mean, just what did we look at last week in lesson four, I think it was? Yeah. where we looked at Romans chapter 7 and looking how even Paul himself was going through quite a bit and dealing with just that sin nature and the struggles. He dealt with it just as much as any of us did, right? I mean, you could almost call, you know, Paul one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, right? And he still dealt with a lot. He still dealt with a lot of just struggles that even we deal with today. But again, God is so merciful and just and gracious to help us that he can get us through it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that is Paul. He knew, I mean, he called himself the chief of all sinners. But God still saved him. In his Christian journey, Paul experienced a continual downsizing of self, like this, and an upsizing of Jesus' grace. Amen? So when you're thinking about getting that supersized jumbo combo, think about how the Lord can also give you that extra boost of grace and help, right? Amen? So you're thinking, okay. Anyways, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans got so much. Even Romans chapter 12 in my Bible. Man, there is so much meat there. I mean, I get fooled on verse 1. Yeah, a lot of good stuff in Romans, but praise the Lord for verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. No human words could contain the magnitude of his grace, can we? We just can't grasp it, but we know that his grace is sufficient for me and for you. And then lastly, in conclusion, that might probably be my mistake, brother. So that's fine. Just go there. Nah, I just messed up on that one. So in conclusion, right, it's just that particular verse. I don't have anything to say here. But just 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. God's good news. His grace, his hope, his love, his understanding for us to have a relationship with him. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. When you're going through it and sin tries to creep in and tries to really just put you into the dumps, know that God's word is more powerful than a two-edged sword, right? And he is here to help you and guide you and direct you and to get you over what you're going through right now. And it could be anything. But you know what? God's good. And, man, God is good. Amen. We are blessed beyond measure. Amen. So let's close in a word of prayer, but let's really pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world, especially in Israel. Pray for our missionaries. Just a lot going on, right? And we know all things have to happen for good. But we don't know all the ins and outs of it, but the Lord knows, and we just have to make sure we just obey him. Follow him and his word, right? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, thank you so much for this morning. Pray that you bless the next service. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for those that are here this morning that came a little early for Sunday school. Pray that you bless the next hour. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And then real quick, I think lesson, I know you guys don't have a book, so I'll just fill you in here. Lesson 6, this is interesting. Lesson 6 is reducing grace. Reducing grace. Sin, me, Jesus, grace, dash off of our tiny scales. Interesting. We'll see what happens next week. Amen. You're dismissed.